Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hello and welcome in to Jayhawk Talk Radio, back on the radio waves for a third season. We are so excited to be back in the Sports Radio 810 studios again. I am Kevin Meckley. Joined with me, as always, is Andrew Payne. We got Kyle Collier behind the glass, who just gave me the biggest thumbs up I've ever seen. Stoked to be here. He's mashing on the buttons tonight. We are stoked to be here. This is exciting because, Andrew, there's a lot going on in KU sports world right now, and we're going to talk about it for the next, I don't know, several months here on A10?
Well, we're at least going to talk about it for the next 2 hours, Kevin.
Let's do it.
At least talk about it for the next 2 hours. You know, we are very excited to be here back on A10. It's cold outside. It's been miserable. It's been icy. If we didn't have Big 12 basketball, if we didn't have the Jayhawks on the hardwood to look forward to, Kevin, I don't know how we would get through these couple months.
That's very fair. That's a very fair point.
So, yeah, we're going to be with you through the tournament, and we're going to be with you for 2 hours today. We got a big show. We have a big show today, Kevin. Let's go through a couple things. We're going to talk Cincinnati. Cincinnati, big Monday, the first big Monday of the year. We got a big Monday date stolen from the NFL.
That's right.
For us college basketball fans, the NFL is taking over our territory.
Get out of here.
The first big Monday.
Go Chiefs.
So, yes, there you go. Go Chiefs. We're also going to talk about, you know, whether the sky is falling for this team or we're going to cut down the nets. I mean, we're not sure.
Somewhere in between.
Kind of do a state of the program. We're going to talk about Johnny Furphy.
Mm.
You want to talk about Johnny Furphy?
I can't wait to talk. Well, I want to talk about Johnny Furphy for 2 hours.
We might scrap this plan for you folks at home and just talk about Johnny Furphy.
Just don't make me talk in an Australian accent. It always turns back to Italian somehow. I don't know how.
Gotta get better at that. We're going to talk about statistics. We're going to talk about lies, and statistics. And one of those is KenPom.
KenPom is a fraud.
KenPom, is it lies? Is KenPom lies?
KenPom is a fraud.
Oh, my goodness. We're going to talk about some. It's halfway through the season, Kevin. We're going to talk about midterms. We're talking about taking stock, taking grades halfway through the season. We're going to talk about the next half of the season, what it's going to take for the Jayhawks to cut down the nets. We're going to do a little Big 12 whip around, and then we're going to talk about Hilton Coliseum. Talk about a big game this Saturday at Iowa State, Ames, Iowa. Big one coming up, Kevin. But Kevin, first, here on A10, let's talk about Cincinnati.
We had a game last night. It was not the prettiest ball game. It was a tie game at half for some of us on the first half line. But, you know, we come back. We have a decent second half. But there's a lot, I think, to take away from this game, Andrew. I don't know where you want to go with this other than I think you got to start with Johnny Furphy.
Johnny Furphy, and we're going to have a whole segment dedicated to Johnny Furphy, so let's not step on our own toes. But let's go ahead and do it right now. Johnny Furphy was why we won that basketball game.
He's 7 of 8 from the field. He had 23 points, leads all scorers. I mean, 7 of 8 in a day when everybody was inefficient. You got a guy coming in 7 of 8. Gets you off to a hot start from 3 again, right? Just like he did the game before. Goes 3 for 4 from 3. Andrew, he grabbed 11 rebounds. This was the Johnny Furphy game, and I have one question for you off the top, just before we get fully deep in the Cincinnati game. Is this going to be Johnny Furphy's best game as a Jayhawk this season?
That's a great question. 17-11, or what do you have? 23-11. 23-11, he had, you know, 15 earlier in the game. And he's been getting better and better. It's hard to beat 23-11, especially when you're not the primary guy on the team, you're not the secondary guy on the team.
Is he going to play a better game? Are we going to get a higher score? Let's just go with scoring. Is he going to score more than 23 points the rest of the season? Yes or no?
I'm going to go yes.
I am too. I think we're just starting to see the scratch of the surface of Johnny Furphy. He's starting to figure out he's better than everybody else on the court.
And you know what? We kind of need him.
Absolutely, we need him.
We kind of need him. There's a lot that this team has to improve on. There's a hole to fill. And maybe that hole has been filled by Johnny Furphy. You know, we're going to get to this, but at the beginning of the season, the dude had shin splints.
Yeah.
And so was really limited in some of those early practices. And we know that Bill Self has those early practices and is very exacting. And it's kind of excruciating a little bit, but he gets those guys ready. I'm not sure Johnny was ready at the beginning of the season. Johnny's ready now.
We're going to get to more Johnny. We got a whole segment on Johnny. Like I said, I wanted to talk about Johnny for 2 hours. We're going to come back to Johnny, but let's talk a little bit about the rest of the squad. Andrew, we had, let me count it. 1, 2 points from our bench.
Hold on. Let's redo that math. Double check that. Is that a one and two?
It was 2 points.
And it happened at the very end of the game when Almarco Jackson hit the two free throws to really put it away.
So effectively, completely outscored from the bench. And we had McCuller not play his best game. He was 5 of 17 from the field, which you remarked felt a lot like a Jalen Wilson game.
Yeah.
That
was a Jalen Wilson statistic if I've ever seen one. McCuller a little hobbled last night, but you saw it there. He was obviously putting it all out on the court. He was doing what was asked of him and made some pretty crucial buckets down the stretch.
No, he was fine. But 5 of 17, inefficient for him. DeJuan Harris has 5 turnovers and just doesn't look good. 3 of 10 from the field, missed a lot of bunnies, which has been happening kind of all season. I don't know about you, Andrew. I think you have to look at the DeJuan Harris that we saw last night and over the last few games and compare it to the DeJuan Harris we have seen over the course of his career. It's not gone better. It's gotten worse. I think you can look at the numbers show that. I don't know what's going on. Maybe he's hurt. Maybe there's something else. Maybe it's just not gelling with the team, but he has not been quite himself that we've seen. I hope that he can figure out how to get back there because I think it is very vital for the ceiling of this team for him to be the quarterback.
Yeah, and it's hard for this team, it seems like, and not just considering DeJuan, but it seems to be hard for this team to put a complete game together.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like you have a game against Oklahoma where you turn the ball over 2 times. How crazy is that statistic? It's you don't have that. And then you have games where you rebound well, and then you go up against Cincinnati, one of the better rebounding teams in the country, and get out-rebounded by 11. So when you're playing in the Big 12, there's going to be a bunch of different types of teams. Some teams like Cincinnati and theoretically West Virginia, who don't take a lot of threes until they do, and make them in the case of West Virginia. And then you go up against a team like Cincinnati who they rebound and there's teams that try to turn you over. So you're going to be facing different types of opponents every or twice a week, and you're going to have to prepare for that. And it's been difficult, I think, for this team to put together complete games. Maybe they rebound well, but they turn the ball over. Maybe they shoot well, or maybe they play in the paint well, but they're not shooting threes well. It's tough for that to all come together. But if that does all come together, the skill is there, the talent is there, this team could be pretty scary. But I think you're right. It probably starts with DeJuan Harris. I don't know if I'm too concerned about the turnovers. I think he does lead the Big 12 in assist to turnover ratio. But it's not necessarily what we thought we were going to be seeing at this point in the season. When we're promised a Hunter Dickinson, DeJuan Harris combo, pick and roll, unstoppable, him just finding guys, 10 assists a game, we're not quite getting that. And maybe that's too high of expectations. But if we're going to win, if we're going to cut down nets, the Jaguars are going to cut down nets. That's got to change.
Yeah. I will posit, Andrew, that we got lucky a little bit last night. Let me just share a couple numbers. You mentioned the rebounding number. We got out-rebounded by 11. They were 3 of 18 from three-point range.
Wow.
What is the normal recipe for beating KU, especially in Allen Fieldhouse?
Well, like we saw with West Virginia.
Yeah, make a lot of threes.
Right.
And we got kind of bullied a little bit by these guys. And thankfully, they didn't have much from the three-point line, or it could have been a different story. And that's frustrating. It is a little bit representative of this little stretch we've been on, which just hasn't been great other than the Oklahoma State game. And I think what we're going to do throughout the show is diagnose a little bit of that, give our "oh boy, the sky is falling," and "oh boy, it's all going to be fine" side of this. We'll see that in the next segment. But what did you take anything away from this game other than Johnny Furphy might be him?
He's him. I think he's him. I mean, I don't take a whole lot away other than the Big 12 is a slog.
Big 12's good.
We've got, you were in Morgantown halfway across the country on Saturday. We got weather trying to get back into town to play a tough team. I mean, a tough in terms of rebounding. Some team is going to beat you up. Team in Cincinnati.
Those dogs.
You know,
Cincinnati.
48 hours later. Not a ton of time to prepare. Not a ton of time to game plan.
Shouldn't have to make excuses for Jayhawks and Outfield House. Don't make excuses for the Jayhawks.
No, but the Big 12 is a slog.
The Big 12 is a slog.
You sort of saw, was Hunter Dickinson 100% last night? I don't think so. Was Kevin McCullough 100% last night? I don't think so. You know who was 100%? Almost 100%. That's Johnny Furphy. That's, you know, 7-8 from the field.
I'm watching on our little screen here, Texas go into Norman and win by 15 against a good Oklahoma team, at least by the numbers, at least per KenPom, at least by the numbers, at least by the net. OU's supposed to be pretty good. Just got hammered by Texas at home. It just goes to show that anything can happen in the Big 12 this season. I think we're going to see the heart attack Hawks all season long. This is not going to be your normal KU team where you kind of march through, you win all your home games, you win about half of them on the road, and you march to the Big 12 title. It's not going to go that way this season. I don't think it's going to go that way this season for anybody. I mean, did you see who's leading the Big 12 right now in the standings?
Texas Tech and K-State.
Texas Tech and K-State. Like, is Texas Tech and K-State going to be in at the top of the standings at the end of the season?
No.
No, they're not. But you know who is? A team with probably five or six losses, maybe more. I mean, it is not.
Is that what you think? You think it's going to take? You think a team with six losses could win this?
Yes. Game? Yeah. I mean, yeah. Look at what we're seeing every night, every single night. Something crazy is happening in the Big 12. It is must watch basketball in the Big 12. Must watch basketball. Every single game is fun, and that's what's crazy about this year. And you know, I kind of dog on all the new schools a little bit, but Houston's legit. Cincinnati, legit. BYU, legit. And I don't even want to talk about Central Florida because my bit has been all season that they're not legit, and then we can't even beat them. So everybody's legit. So it's going to be must-watch basketball. Anything can happen. We're just going to beat all up on each other. It's going to happen.
You know, they did have the Golden Globes last week. Is that what it was?
Sure.
Emmys, Golden Globes?
I have no idea.
Yeah, they went to Succession, Kevin. I don't know if you watched that show.
Yeah, yeah.
Went to the wrong show. The Big 12 is the best show on television.
Oh, I see where you're going with that. Yeah, okay, there's the end.
The Big 12 is the best show on television.
It is. It is. It is. Short of the NFL product, I think. Any other college basketball program or any other college basketball league, not even close. Not even close.
All right, Kevin, we're going to go to break, but when we come back, we're going to hash it out here. We're gonna predict the rest of the season. Is the sky falling, or are the Hawks cutting down the nets? That's right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
And to Jayhawk Talk Radio on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Andrew, I think we've been talking about this a little bit. Let's just do this thing. Let's give the case. I want you to give the case, and I'll jump in a little bit too here, of why the sky is absolutely falling on this KU basketball program this year. And then, I think we're going to hit a timer. Let's do a three-minute timer. We'll have Kyle hit a timer. Not yet, Kyle. I'll tell you when. Kyle's going to hit a timer. We're going to allow ourselves 3 minutes to vent about how the sky is absolutely falling.
So we're just going to get it out of our system.
Get it all out. And then we're going to spend another period of time saying why the Jayhawks are absolutely cutting down the nets.
Okay.
Like, going to win the whole thing. All right?
This is good therapy.
It's therapy. It's good for everybody. You can do it at home. You know, set yourself a timer. We'll do it together. Okay. All right. So, Kyle, can you hit us with a timer? And no matter what's going on, Kyle, I want you to hit a buzzer right in the middle of a sentence. Just hit us with it. All right? You got it? Let's go. Ready? 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, Kevin, team is not very versatile. We only have three people who can score. Only three people who can score. Usually, if you're going to win a title, you've got this guy who can do that, this guy who can dunk, this guy who can shoot three-pointers. We really have three ways to get you. It's Kevin McCullough kind of just throwing the ball around the basket.
We have Hunter
who can score from his left shoulder really well, and then you've got KJ who can just dunk. That's all. That's the only way we know how to score. That's it.
Yeah, I'll say this, Andrew. We can't shoot. Who's going to make a three? We can't space. There's no spacing at all. We can't drive. Who's going to go get you a bucket at the end of the game? Who's going to drive off the dribble and get you a bucket?
Tyshawn Taylor's
Tyshawn
not on
is
team.
Not walking through that door. He is not walking through that door. You can't. They can't do any of it. And, Andrew, to your point, we had two, count them, two bench points last night. Two bench points. How are you going to win games with two bench points? And well, who's going to rebound? We got a 7'2" guy in the middle. We got an Energizer bunny, and we got a 6'9" wing, and nobody can get a rebound?
Man, they look tired. Hunter looks tired sleepy? Out there. Definitely sleepy. Kevin may have been banged up a little bit, but everybody else looked a little sleepy last night.
All right.
Other than Furphy, nobody on the boards.
Where is DeJuan Harris? He won a national championship. I have not seen DeJuan Harris national championship DeJuan since this season at all. Tell me.
He's not there.
He's not there. Where is he? I don't see him. What is Kevin McCullough? Are we going to put everything behind Kevin McCullough? Is that our answer? We need Kevin McCullough to be what he's been, which is wildly efficient, which his entire career he hasn't been able to do. Is the sky falling?
We're rolling the dice here.
Are we rolling the dice?
It's going to come up snake eyes. Is that a bad thing?
Eyes good or bad?
I don't know. It's bad. In this case, it would be bad.
Okay. Yeah. Let me just do one more thing for you. Is Parker Brown going to save the season?
PB?
Is Parker
Brown? Are you talking about PB?
Is Parker Brown going to do anything? We got nobody coming. No one is coming to save the season. There's no one coming to save the season.
No. There's only nine guys who play on this team.
Do they actually play?
I think Jamari McDowell will be a good player, but in an ideal world, this guy would not sniff the floor.
He gets onto the court and everyone's like, who's that guy again? Yeah. Like, that's what happens when he gets on the court.
He's Bill Self's. If he's in the game, then he's mad.
Something has gone
he's
wrong.
He's mad about something.
Something has happened. There's a problem.
There's your barometer. Like, oh, oh no.
And here's the other thing. Bill Self, I'll say it out loud. When he's sleepy on the sideline, he's not attacking like he was before. You know, and it's good for his health. And very important. I don't want Bill Self to go too crazy. But maybe he's not. Maybe he doesn't know how to be the docile Bill Self.
Mm.
Does the team not respond?
Is he not fired up?
I don't know. I'm just asking questions here.
We got to get fired up. There's a lot that has to happen with this team, Kevin.
All right. Okay. That was it. That was 3 minutes of venting. How do you feel? Did it feel forced? Or did it feel real? I think that's a real question.
A little bit of both.
A little bit of both. Yeah, that's right.
A little bit of both.
All right.
Yeah, but it's good to just get it out. Because we don't have to say those things anymore.
Okay.
Like, did we believe them?
Some of it.
There may be some truth.
Kernels of truth.
Kernels, there's always. But that doesn't mean that it's my truth, Kevin.
That's okay.
Or the truth. Because,
alternative facts.
Well, yeah, these are how I interpret this situation, Kevin. But, like, this team is still a good team.
Okay.
Potentially great team.
How do we cut? What is going to happen? Let's now predict the season in the most positive light that we possibly can.
And I wouldn't necessarily say positive light, but I will say this, is that you've got four dudes on this team who are national championship caliber players. If you just have one more, you don't need to play a ton of guys in the tournament.
Correct.
You have 20-minute halftimes. You have an extra minute at timeouts. You have games spaced a little bit easier.
Last I checked, you can only play five guys.
And if Johnny Furphy...
What if Johnny Furphy...
So,
what
if Johnny Furphy... The one thing that I didn't agree with you on, that there wasn't a kernel of truth on our catharsis...
I know where you're going with this.
...is that you said...
No one's coming to save us.
No one's coming to save us.
As soon as I said it, I was like, maybe there is someone coming
Except
to save us.
Except I think Superman's here.
Okay.
Like, you always say, Superman's not coming to save us. I think Superman with the cape, he just landed.
It's Johnny Furphy.
It's not truth, justice in the American way. It's truth, justice in the Australian way. It's Johnny Furphy. Johnny, we've been looking for someone to fill that five spot or that fifth spot with these core four guys.
We thought it was going to be Arterio.
That didn't work out for reasons.
Yeah.
And then going into the season, we were thinking, all right, we know our four guys. Who's going to be the fifth one?
Yep.
And that's the conversation. Bill Self talks about this. Everybody talks about somebody's got to step up. Marco started the season. We thought potentially there was going to be a Nick Timberlake, a Marco competition. Then we'll see what happens with with Johnny Furphy.
I will tell you this. I am no longer an insider. I don't have a lot of inside, you know, sources and things like that. I'm not trying to these days. But I have a couple.
Used to be.
I have a couple.
Okay.
And both of them said that they loved Johnny Furphy when he came in. That they were, like, singing the praises of him beyond anything they'd heard in a long time. That the coaching staff immediately said, this guy's a pro. And no one was recruiting him. Like, he was just, you know, he kind of came on fast. And that was a thing that I heard all offseason, as soon as he came, obviously, since he committed, that they adored that guy. And then I heard about the shin splints. And he just got off to a slow start. It is possible, Andrew, he's our best pro. It might be possible he's our best player, prospect. Not yet. He's not better than Hunter. He's not better than Kevin McCullough. But he's could be really good. Now, we're going to talk about Johnny some more, but I want to get to one other thing. What if I told you, Andrew, that we had an All-American center, first or second team, an All-American wing, first, second, third team, a national championship caliber point guard, a Energizer bunny, and...
Can that person dunk?
And he can dunk better than anyone on the entire court. And a savior from Australia. If I said all five of those things, does that sound like a national championship caliber team to you?
Yes, it does.
It does. We have all the freaking pieces, not to mention the best coach in the game. So tell me, Andrew, why this is not a team that should be cutting down the nets.
I can't tell you
that. You can't do it.
I can't tell you that.
Neither can anybody else.
It's there. The pieces are there.
The pieces are there.
They've got to go through the Big 12 fire. They've got to go through the trials. They've got to go on the road and face these teams that have all these different ways to beat you and try to adjust. And you know what? We're not going to win out. It's going to be tough. I mean, we've got we go to Ames, Iowa, you know, this Saturday. That's going to be tough
game.
It's going to be one of the tougher games we'll play. We play Houston at home and the Saturday after that.
Tough game.
Those are incredibly hard games. These are games that no one else really in college basketball has to play. The Big 12 is so unique in that. And we wanted this conference to be this way. We've added these other teams. Next year it'll be even weirder with Arizona.
It will be weirder.
It'll be even weirder with Arizona. But here we are this year, 14 teams battling it out. Everybody seems to be sort of existing on the same plane. Usually you've got your bottom tiers and your middle tiers. I'm not sure what those tiers are yet. It's tough to tell. We're a third of the way through the season, Kevin. We're a third of the way through this Big 12 season, so it's tough to tell. But if you were to design a national championship caliber team to play this season for the Jayhawks, it would look very similar to what we're looking at, other than you probably would build in a better bench.
A little better bench would be nice.
Just a little better bench.
You know, it would be nice to have like an Ernest Udeh coming off the bench.
Oh, man.
Be nice to have a couple players that were potentially transferred out that could have been fun. Could have had a couple of the guys in the portal that were interesting. But you know what, Andrew? They still have all those pieces that we talked about before. They have a core, solid starting five that I would put up against anyone on any team in college basketball.
We're ranked 19th in KenPom, Kevin. Would you put...
So KenPom's a fraud. KenPom's a fraud. I'm not.
This team against any of those higher 18 teams?
Any of them I would. That's exactly what I'd do.
I would, too. This team's not blowing teams out. That doesn't mean it's not going to cut down the nets come April. It's going to be an interesting January, an interesting February. And then when March comes, all bets are off.
What if Nick Timberlake is the savior, actually?
Well, hey.
What if Nick Timberlake was the guy all along? And we've all just been talking about Johnny Furphy. What happened? What happens if Nick Timberlake's the guy? I'm joking.
He's been all right. He did not have a good game against Cincinnati.
He's not been
But
dead.
If he can be consistent, and you know, maybe he's what not. He needs is for his role to just be limited. You don't have to come in and try to compete for that fifth spot, but you come in and play your 15 to 20 minutes a game, or maybe even less, do the few things that you need to do. You need to...
One for two for three. That's it.
And then if you can get a breakaway dunk every once in a while and get on SportsCenter, then all
that's all we need
better.
From you.
That's all we need.
That's all we need.
I don't know. So where do you fall? Are you falling on, we're definitely cutting down the nets, or are you falling in the sky?
Are you
going
to force me to pick one of those?
No, just like, where are you on the continuum?
I still come back to, as we've now vented both sides, I still come back to the fact that we have the Hall of Fame coach, two All-Americans, somewhere in the All-American conversation, and the pieces around them to be good enough. We need to somehow figure out a way to rebound the ball a little better, cut down the turnovers just a little bit, and make a few more threes. Space and allow Hunter to get more good looks. All of those things happen. The sky's the limit for this team.
I think so, too. I'm there.
Okay.
Hey, so let's keep talking about this team.
Okay.
All right, Kevin, after the break, we've hinted at this a little bit. We're going to talk just about Johnny Furphy.
That's it.
We don't know a ton about Johnny Furphy, so we're going to get really deep into that. And that'll be right after the break here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Yes. Got some Australian music. What's this song called? Land Down Under?
Yeah.
Let this play for a minute. This song's a banger.
This is the only Australian song we could come up
with. It's the only song we could come up with. And why are we playing Australian music or a song about Australia? I'm not even sure if it's Australian music. It's because it's time to talk about our one true love, Johnny Furphy.
You know, we should become like big Australian heads. Like really into Australian culture.
Yeah, the only thing I know about Australian culture is stuff I've seen in Crocodile Dundee, Bluey, and Outback Steakhouse. That's all I got.
We had a Foster's?
Foster's Australian for beer.
And Johnny
Furphy. It's not even made in Australia. And then so, Johnny Furphy. Allegedly. So here's the thing that I wanted to throw out there. Maybe let's talk about, first of all, how he's the savior of the program. And then I want to get into a little bit more of the bio of Johnny Furphy, because I don't think a lot of people know much about him. I would posit that anyone listening to this right now can't name three fun facts about Johnny Furphy, or any facts, or anything at all, other than he's the savior of the 23-24 college basketball program at the University of Kansas.
He can hide behind the being Australian thing.
Yeah.
Like, because that's like a big
thing.
You can just say, like, oh, I'm from Australia.
Yeah. And his little accent.
That's my thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's more to it than that. We want to get deeper.
We want to go deeper.
Deeper into this. So we have Johnny Furphy. We're going to call this segment Welcome to Furf.
Mm.
Welcome to Furf.
Welcome to Furf.
Welcome to Furf. All right. So this is coming off a game last night against Cincinnati. He had 23 points, 11 rebounds in 36 minutes. Since becoming a starter 3 games ago, it was against Oklahoma State, he's averaged 17 points, 8 rebounds in 33 minutes. That's
pretty good.
If that is the average in a Big 12 season, that's first-team Big 12 numbers.
Yeah. Like, what if he's the guy? Like, what if he is the savior?
If I were to tell you, okay, Kevin, we need a fifth starter, and I got this guy for you. Okay? You need somebody at the two spot? Well, he's 6'9".
Okay.
He can rebound if he wants to.
Okay.
If he works at it. Oh, and what's your one thing that you need?
I need a three-point
shooting?
Uh-huh.
This is your guy.
Okay.
What if I told you I had this guy and he could join your team right now? That would be what you want.
Is that something you might be interested in?
Is that be something you might be interested in?
Yes.
Oh, and he also happens to be from Australia.
Oh, see, now you have more
no
content.
No one knows about him.
Now you got content. Then I'm definitely in.
So I think he is custom built for the needs of this team. And I think Bill Self did finally realize that when he inserted him into the lineup, into the starting lineup. Against Oklahoma State, and really took off from there. It's got some defensive work to do.
Yeah.
I mean, missed box out on a free throw wasn't great.
I did notice he got a little better at the second game.
He did. He can learn. Kind of like Joel Embiid. Like, he made a mistake one time,
uh-huh.
And then he didn't make that mistake again. You sort of saw that.
Yeah.
So I was thinking back, you know, usually with these Bill Self teams, you have the starting lineup, and there may be some shuffling here and there, but it's usually pretty set the whole season. He's got a pretty good idea of what he wants and what the team needs are, and it starts pretty early, and you know what the starting lineup's going to be. And we've seen that for the past several years. But there have been occasions when there have been significant changes into January, where someone takes the mantle of in the starting lineup. And I wanted to just see, like, who does this rise remind you of? And I have a couple players I want to throw out.
Okay.
Number one is Ochai.
Yeah. No, that feels like the most, like, I remember we've had a podcast for 11 years, 12 years?
13 years.
13
Kevin.
Years now. I remember the moment when we had a bit about Ochai being the next Michael Jordan, and that he was going to be, and he, again, shed the red shirt, he was coming in, he was kind of unheralded, you know, not the highest recruited guy, but kind of looked the part, kind of felt the part, and then he was bonkers out of the gate. Remember?
Immediately.
He was great. He averaged like 16 points for like the first 5-6 games, and then he kind of fell off a little bit, but he was still really good. Right out of the gate, and we just thought he was going to be Michael Jordan. Like, it was a bit, but then he kind of turned into it.
Isn't that crazy to think about a little bit, that Ochai now, you know, doing pretty well for the Jazz, second year in the NBA. He started his career as a redshirt. They didn't think he was quite good enough.
Crazy, yeah.
And then he started off just gangbusters. It's crazy to think about that. Sometimes you just don't. You got to give a guy an opportunity, and so maybe that's a close comparison. Another one I came up with is Mario Chalmers.
Mm.
Mario came in, and that was, Bill Self had this reputation, he didn't start a lot of freshmen.
Right.
That's obviously changed a little bit. But so Jeff Hawkins started at point guard for that Jayhawk team that 2005-2006 season. And in January, Mario took over that job and really took off from there and ended up Big 12 tournament champion at the end of that season. So maybe similar comparison there.
Sure.
And then the other one, which I don't think is fair, is Joel Embiid. He's too good of an example for it to really count, but he did come in later on.
Yeah.
I think Tarik Black started, you know, transfer from Memphis.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a long-tenured guy, experienced. He knew how to get things done in November and December, and then January came, and it was Embiid's turn.
It was Embiid's turn.
He was way too good.
Yeah, it was super good.
So at this point, I think all these things are playing out. What's similar is that eventually guys just prove they're way too good to be sitting on the bench, way too good to have a red shirt, and Johnny Furphy is way too good. He's way too good to be playing 17 minutes a game. He needs to be playing 35 minutes a game.
You tasked me, Andrew, with trying to give the listeners at home a little more information about Johnny Furphy, because people don't know him, right? People don't know a lot about him. So what I did, you know, Andrew, I did what everybody does in this day and age. Just scoured the internet. Looked down the rabbit holes. And let me tell you, I don't know if there's a different internet in Australia or if there's like some regulations on some or other. I can't find much on this guy. And I'm actually starting to ask myself a little bit, you know, are we getting little catfish vibes on this Johnny Furphy guy?
Are we being catfished? At least we've seen him in person.
I think so. I think that's right. You know, I might, hey, your eyes can fool you these days in the year of our Lord 2024. All right, here's what it says. It says on KU Athletics, this is what it says. A small forward who joined the team in August 2023, red flag all the way, by the way, joined in August 23. It's a little late in the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, red flag there. Comes to Kansas from Melbourne, Australia, allegedly. Known for, quote, his length, athleticism, and ability to knock down threes. He's also been described as a player that attacks the basket and finishes above the rim. Andrew, that terminology right there sounds straight out of ChatGPT. I mean, it is the most generic college basketball like bio ever. So I did a little more digging, and I went to ChatGPT, which is what you do in the year of our Lord 2024. And I just said, who is Johnny Furphy? Guess what ChatGPT said?
Probably had nothing.
As of my last knowledge update, I don't have specific information about an individual named Johnny Furphy.
You know why? I'll tell you why.
I don't want to know why. I want to keep going down this rabbit hole.
The data for ChatGPT isn't updated for its. It goes only.
Okay, so he existed before January 2022. I know this point in time statistic.
But he wasn't Superman yet.
So is that it? Like, he just hadn't arrived on Earth yet? Is that
correct?
Like, okay, got
correct.
It. So he exists. He just was an alien.
Correct.
Okay. Listen, Melbourne is kind of alien foreign to me. I could buy into this narrative. No one knows anything about Johnny Furphy. We look to his Instagram feed. He's got four pictures. One of them is him. on a place called Kangaroo Island, which also sounds as fake as you could possibly
get. So, all right, I need to create a fake account, and I need to... Oh, what do people do on Instagram? They go on vacation. Where should I go on vacation?
Kangaroo Island. Yeah, like, that's where we should go. That's exactly right. Yeah. I am struggling a little bit. Now, allegedly, again, he's got parents who came to the games, the last two games. Now, here's my other take. Either those are real parents or actors. Either way, I don't care. I just want them to come to every game. Because Johnny Furphy is apparently Michael Jordan when Dick Furphy and Liza Alpers are in the stands. Again, not sure if they're real. Don't care. I want those people in the stands every game. They need to stay here and not go back to Melbourne or the moon or wherever they're from.
This is too important for them to... They did leave. They are back in Australia now.
Or they're probably
still on a plane because it takes forever.
Yeah.
But we need those people
back. We need
back.
Them back.
Paid actors or not.
I don't care who they are. I don't care who they are.
They need to come back. But seriously, it was nice to have them in the stands last night. And to see him play a game like that, and for your parents, their first time seeing you in a Jayhawk uniform. But... Yeah, let's get him a job here. Have him go work at Jefferson's. We at least need you through April, family.
Oh, man. I did see he now has NBA draft bios, which are a little bit better. But I will say it's only, again, showing flashes of what could be in the future. Here is what we know, right? That kind of thing.
Well, Kevin... Look at this team and look at this roster. There's a lot of great, great college players. But Dwan Harris is not going to be a lengthy pro player, at least at the highest level. Hunter, I think, has an opportunity. I think he's as a good shooter.
He can shoot,
he's
man.
Got some potential to play at the next level. Kevin McCullough is getting some buzz.
Yeah.
He's getting some potential lottery buzz.
First round, for sure.
But having said all of that, is Johnny Furphy the best pro prospect on this team?
Yes.
I think so, too.
Yes. I think so, yes. I say yes.
He's tall. He can shoot.
He's a Monstar? That helps?
You know, I've always wanted a Monstar on the team, like someone who came down from a different planet who's just like, crushing it in the middle of the season. Johnny Furphy, the Monstar.
Whose powers did he steal? That's what I want to know. This is a reference from... a very classic movie. Whose powers are these?
Larry Bird?
Larry Bird powers. I like that.
Maybe?
I like that.
Because he can shoot threes, but he's also tough.
Yeah, okay.
He's also tough. That's all right. I got.
Okay.
Who do you have?
No, that sounds good. I'm just curious. That's my question for you.
Because he's not just a three-point shooter. He's got some muscle. I mean, he's got to get bigger. He's got to play.
He's got to get bigger. Got to be a little better on defense.
Yes.
Those are two things. But he's quick. He's tall, can't teach height.
Before we get out of here and go to break, is there any worry for you, any inkling, back of the head, he's a one and done?
No, I don't think so. He would have to go on such a tear that... could he be... Like, let's say he kind of keeps this up and he finishes the Big 12 or finishes the year averaging 15 points. He will be on draft boards, like, no doubt. Will he stay or go? I think he comes back. That's just my current read. And why? Because I think Dick Furphy and Liza, whatever her name, would want him to come back for one more year. That's my read.
Any shot at the Australian Olympic team?
Oh, that is a great question.
Good team, by the way. Good roster.
You're pretty really good team. Fun fact, Australia has produced the third most NBA players.
Oh.
I think that's right.
Who's second?
Canada.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. We're going to get out of here, take a little bit of a break. But next, after the break, this is important. We're going to talk to you about why math is bad and stats are wrong and why KenPom is a fraud. And that's right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Harris splits to the defenders, kicks back, Furphy to beat the buzzer. Got it! Johnny Furphy rips the boards.
Listen to that. Brian Haney on the call. The Johnny Furphy buzzer beater. The crowd roars. It's fun talking Johnny Furphy.
Welcome to Furph.
Welcome to Furph. Andrew, look, we've been starting to get to the point of the season where you start looking at quad one, quad two, quad three, quad four wins. Does this mean anything to you? This is a fairly new phenomenon. I know it's been around for a few years now, but the idea of the selection committee looking at and using statistical analysis, the net, some newfangled data to show how you should rank teams.
Yeah, to be a college basketball fan these days, you got to have at least a intermediate to almost graduate level understanding of some of these statistics. We used to have the simple metric of RPI.
Oh, yeah, RPI.
Way outdated, but it was easy to understand.
We were always first. It was great.
<That's right.
laughs> It was great.
And then KenPom came around, and then I think that there's people who do their
Torvik.
Good people out there who are doing their daily devotionals. And I think if you're a college basketball fan, your daily devotional is checking KenPom in the morning. Did my team move? Who moved up? Who moved down? And I'm certainly probably guilty of that to a extent I don't want to talk about. And so we've kind of learned to talk this language of KenPom and Torvik and adjusted rating and all of these different metrics and seeing how our teams fit. And usually the Jayhawks play a specific way or have the roster where – they can kind of goose the numbers, and they're going to be high whether they deserve it or not. But not this year.
No, not this year.
We're goosing the numbers on the opposite way.
The opposite way. That's correct. Andrew, last I checked, we were 18th in KenPom?
I think we're 19th in KenPom.
You better refresh.
Oh, did we just change? These are live numbers, folks. We are 18th, you're right.
We're 18th in KenPom.
Something happened.
Okay, we're 18th in KenPom. And let me just talk to you about a few of the teams above Kansas in KenPom. This is not the net. This is not the AP. It's not the coaches' poll. This is KenPom. We are 18th. Above us is a team called Michigan State.
I've heard of them.
Michigan State has 7 losses, Andrew. 7.
Can you tell me the teams that they lost to?
No, I can't. But I will get there in just a minute.
Does one of them include James Madison?
It does include James Madison.
Were they at home for that game?
They were at home for that game. They lost by 3 points. Andrew, let me tell you about quad 1 and quad 2. Do you remember how the quads work?
Yes.
Okay. I don't remember exactly the breakdown. It's like top 70 away and top 30 home,
right,
or something like that.
Right.
But the key is quad one is the good teams, quad two is the best, good, a little less than good. Quad three is pretty bad, and quad four is terrible. You have to win quad one and quad two games to have a chance to have a good seed in the tournament. Correct? Is that all fair?
Let me tell you.
Michigan State is 2-5 in quad one. 2-5, Andrew. They are 2-5 with 5 losses in quad one. The only wins they have are Baylor in a neutral, which is a good win, fairly good win, and Indiana State. Those are the two teams that Michigan State has, and they are ranked ahead of the University of Kansas and KenPom. Tell me how this is possible.
I don't know.
KenPom's a fraud.
He must have lost his fastball.
That's right.
Can math lose its fastball?
Yes.
Can math deteriorate over time to not produce good results?
You know why? Yes, it can. Like, think about data models. And I'm an expert in data models, as you know.
I know that.
You know this about me. But I know this. Data models, you got to adjust them. You can't get static. You can't get flat-footed. The game changes. And you can't tell me that wins and losses don't matter. I don't care what your model says. Bill Self counts for more. And if you haven't accounted for Bill Self and Allen Fieldhouse in close games, then your model sucks. Your model sucks, right? That's all I'm saying. Bill Self and close games and Allen Fieldhouse. If you don't account for that, your model sucks.
Well, and I think that I've always had this theory that
it's a fraud.
Whatever predictive metric you have, coming down to the last 4 minutes of a basketball game
matters.
Bill Self's going to outperform that.
Yes.
Based on preparation of his team, based on the skill of the players, and based on just how the everyone's ready and how it's almost like a mood, a calmness about the team that's ready to play those last 4 minutes, whereas other teams aren't ready to play those last 4 minutes. And that's not going to be captured in any number. That's not going to be captured in a season-long predictive metric about, okay, well, it's predicted that they're going to score X percent of time on this next possession. That's a little different in crunch time. So basically what I'm telling you, Kevin, is I think I'm an eye test guy now.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Full-on clutch gene guy.
Full-on clutch gene eye test. Let's scrap the numbers.
Let the game speak for themselves.
Scrap the metrics. You know, there's only one number that matters, and that's wins.
So, Andrew, let me give you another team. Now, you've got KenPom pulled up right now, right?
Yes, I do.
Where does Alabama on KenPom?
They are number eight.
Eighth in KenPom. And what are we again? We're 18 spots behind Alabama? Let me tell you what Alabama's quad one record is. Are you ready again? 2-5, just like those Michigan State frauds. 2-5, Andrew. Again, one of those wins is against Indiana State. Indiana State, 2-5. You know what the other win was, by the way? Mississippi State. Mississippi State and Indiana State are the best two wins that Alabama has. Mississippi State and Indiana State, yet they are 10 spots ahead of us in KenPom. They have 5 losses, 6 if you count quad 2. How is it possible, Kenneth Pomeroy, that Alabama is 10 spots higher in that metric?
I think I know.
I know too, but now let's talk about it. Let's talk about why.
I think these numbers benefit teams that blow teams out.
Correct.
And run up the score.
Correct.
And we don't do that.
We don't.
This team is not built for that. For whatever reason, we've got 4 or 5 guys. Let's say 5 guys. We've got a core 5 now. Iron 5. Is that what they call it? Iron 5, right? That's the North Carolina thing. And so we don't do that. But we do win basketball games.
We do find a way to win.
And
except
so,
against West Virginia and against UCF. Those are two tough
those
ones in the KenPom era.
Those are going to set us back. But we were low even before we lost to those teams. And those teams didn't necessarily set us back all that much. It's not blowing out teams. It's not running up the score. It's not like you get bonus credit for beating UConn if you're expected to beat UConn. It's not like you
should.
Right. But at the end of the season, they'll take these things all together. You no longer are a math problem. You are a body of work.
Body of work.
And they are putting together a pretty good body of work.
Alabama, to your point, has wins of 50 points, 48 points, 40 points, 36 points, and just keep going. Like, they've had a bunch of these just absolute blowouts. They crushed South Carolina, who tonight crushed Kentucky. So, that is the problem. We have not exactly figured out a way to blow out teams. And so, by the way, we're not gonna.
That was what I was gonna say. Is if we got a couple of ways to take this. One, we either got to start blowing teams out, or two, we got to go full eye test.
Just full on eye test.
Throw out the math. We don't look at numbers anymore.
Who needs numbers? Tell me how many W's you have and how many L's you have. And if you'd like to know before we get out of here, Andrew, what KU's quad one, you want to know what that is? Let me just Google that. Quad one wins for Kansas. Remember how all those other teams were 2-5? Guess what KU is?
I don't know.
4-2.
Okay.
7-2 if you count quad one and quad two. One of the best bodies of work so far in college basketball. When you look at, again, the W column, 7-2, quad 1-2.
That is my favorite statistic.
Me too.
Is wins.
My absolute favorite.
Love wins.
I love cutting down nets too. And you know what it takes to get there? It doesn't take Ken Pomeroy numbers. He's a fraud.
Just takes the W's. All right. That's our first hour. First hour in the books, Kevin.
It?
Here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We've got another hour coming your way. We're going to talk about some midterms. We're going to talk about some grades. We're going to talk about Iowa State. We're going to talk about little Big 12 whip around. Lots to come here on Jayhawk Talk Radio on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back in to Jayhawk Talk Radio. Got a little Alice Cooper. Little school's out for the summer. All the kids know Alice Cooper, right?
Oh, yeah. Taught in the streets.
Oh, man. That's a banger. Listen, we're playing school's out for the summer because it is about midterm season for this 23-24 season. We got 19 games in the book. Assuming we get to about 38 games, which wouldn't be a bad season.
40.
40 would be even better. We're about halfway. And so it's time, Andrew, to give some grades. I think we got a big enough sample size to grade certain aspects of this team. And I'm going to start it off here. I want you to give me your grade for the following. And we're going to go back and forth. I want to see, and you play this game at home. You let us know what your grades are.
Yeah, so it's like a mid-semester evaluation.
Sure.
Should we change our major?
Exactly.
Should we change our shooting guard?
We did that.
It's like a parent-teacher conference, except it's a fan.
Yeah.
We're having a conversation with Bill Self here.
Okay, got it. He listens to all the shows.
Cindy's coming over here. We're having a conversation with Cindy at parent-teacher conferences.
Yeah.
So let's do some grades. Let's do some overall evaluation. You know, can we, you know, based on expectation?
Yeah, sure. I think expectation is the key.
Ceiling.
Yeah.
Or just, you know, a general overall.
Qualified.
Is this working out?
Yeah. I'll start it off.
Okay.
I think the fun one to start is Kevin McCuller. The expectations coming in, came back from the draft process. Give me your grade on Kevin McCuller thus far.
I'm going to give Kevin McCuller an A.
Yeah.
And not quite an A+, but pretty close to an A+. He's still going to get that 4.0. But, and this is why I say that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is that we've had two previous seasons of Ochai Agbaji and Jalen Wilson coming back and improving so dramatically that it's this wonder, this how is that even possible? This is incredible that he came back and is able to do this, to take the reins of this great team, and now he is the unquestioned leader. We've been through this twice, and it is very difficult for anyone to imagine that it would happen three times for us, when it rarely happens for any other team in the 360 teams in Division I basketball. But we're getting it three times in a row. So maybe it's this Kevin McCuller is not getting the credit he deserves because the outstanding feat that he is accomplishing is feeling a little old hat. Like, oh yeah, we do this every year. It's hard.
Very hard.
This is an incredible thing that he is doing, almost averaging 20 points a game, putting himself on pace for winning some kind of All-American award. And I think it's different a little bit with the previous two, if we're going to compare it to Ochai.
I think he's been better than both of them.
And I agree. Because he does way more.
Yeah.
He does. What was Kevin McCuller's calling card really until this year?
Defense.
And he's still doing that. He's still bringing the ball up the floor sometimes. He's a good chunk of the time, he's the point guard on the team. He's the bar none leader of this team. Kevin McCuller, he gets an A from me, and I think that is something we shouldn't lose sight of. There's so many other bells and whistles, so many other distractions from the fact that Kevin McCuller is accomplishing something that's rarely accomplished, and it's special that it's happening this year for this team.
You're wrong about an A. It's an A+.
Okay.
It's an A+. The guy's averaging 20.8 points, double what he came back from. He's never averaged more than 10 his entire career. He's averaging 20. 49% from the field, 41% from three.
Wow.
Shocking. Shocking. I mean, from where we expected him, what he's been, Andrew, he's been nothing short of amazing. Seven rebounds a game, six assists a game. He's filling up the box score. If we did not have Kevin McCuller, this would be a very different season.
It was always, you know, he had it. He had the rebounding. He had the defense. But he was never really a killer on offense. Now he's a killer.
I was terrified of him coming in and shooting the ball 20 times a game because I did not think it was going to be highly efficient. I thought it'd be worse than Jalen. He's been awesome. He's been awesome. A+ for me. Let's go on to the next one.
All right, so I'm going to do one for you. Dwan Harris.
Mm.
What grade does... Now, Dwan Harris is an A+ player for his career at KU. He will go down as one of the best point guards of the Bill Self era of Kansas basketball. He has his national championship. He has his statistics. He has his accolades. That being said, we are focusing on this half of this particular season versus expectations, versus what we need and want out of that position. What is Dwan Harris's grade?
Yeah, I'm going to give him a C minus.
C minus?
Yeah, I have not seen the vintage Dwan that we have seen throughout his career. He has done a couple things well. He's got his highest assist mark he's ever had at 6.8 assists a game. It's leading the Big 12. But last year was 6.2, so like not crazy. He's down in steals, up in turnovers, down in points, down in efficiency across the board. And it's just not quite there. It's not quite what it was. He still brings you some good defensive plays, but even that, it feels like he's getting beat a little bit more than he has in the past. He's our least efficient player around the rim, Andrew. His 2-point percentage close to the rim is around 40%, which is by far the worst on the team, and that's called close twos for Torvik. Bad.
We saw a couple of that last night.
Bad. He launches the ball off the backboard every time. I've got this theorem, the Juan backboard theorem. Again, I'm a big math guy, you know.
Yeah.
it goes like this. If he uses the backboard, he misses the shot. It always goes too hard. If he does a finger roll, a little fadeaway thing on the baseline, or three, it goes in. That's the theorem. The only time, and I said that yesterday, and everyone gave me total crap on Twitter, when he made one off the backboard, but I immediately corrected them and said he got fouled on that play. And had he not gotten fouled, he'd have still launched it off too far. It's like hitting a tree in golf and it like lands on the green. Yeah, the tree helped you. The foul helped you. So, yeah, I give him a C-. And now, can he improve? God, I hope so. We've seen him be awesome. And he's never going to be a 20-point scorer. He's never going to do that. He's never going to be the guy who was in that Kentucky game where he just goes freaking crazy. But I just need him to be a little better.
Offensively, you're right. As a true point guard, pure point guard distributor, I'm not too worried about the turnovers. I think that'll get cleared up. The assists are, he passes the ball so much, there's going to be some turnovers. But you're right, close to the basket. And, you know, last night against Cincinnati, he passed up a couple of those threes.
Shoot.
Everybody
him.
In the building
shoot.
Was like, just shoot.
Just shoot.
Just shoot. And when he did shoot, went in.
He guess what he's shooting this year in 3-point percentage?
It's probably around 40.
42. Last year was 41.
He can shoot and he can make them.
Remember what his freshman year was? 64%. So, like, his career is like a 48% 3-point shooter. Just shoot him, bro.
And it's I think that he
don't
needs
drive.
To, he needs to have some permission. Like, if that number goes down to 35 because you're taking a higher volume, that's okay.
That's okay.
They need him to be that shoot threat him. To open some things up because they do sag off of him. I mean, we've seen that. How many times have we seen that? I mean, Missouri is one of the bigger ones, and he took advantage of that. Let's keep taking advantage of that. He is a good shooter.
Okay, this will be a quick one.
Okay.
The bench.
Oh, gosh.
Quick.
I my wife is an elementary school teacher, and they don't do A, B, C, D. So can I do a two? Like just,
out of what?
Like it's they just call it like it's, well, out of three.
What?
It's like does not meet the standard.
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah.
It's so they don't want to like hurt feelings.
Yeah,
so,
sure. No, F is
F,
the answer.
It does not meet the standard.
It does not meet the
does
standard.
Does not meet the standard.
F.
Not,
some of that's
not
on self.
Track. Not and it was such a weird offseason.
It was a weird offseason.
Where the team completely turned over. We had an Arterial Morris situation. Had a couple other guys leave who weren't necessarily expected
this is
to leave.
The portal world, though, man.
Portal world. Ended up with a great team, a great roster they put together. However, the bench has not delivered.
El Marco was supposed to come off the bench. He had to start. Ideally, we would have one of Zubi and Uday on the team and not Parker Brown being the only other big. Ideally. I mean, there's some things that could have happened that would make it better, but it didn't happen. That's on Bill a little bit. It's on Arterio a little bit, maybe a little Bill there too, and that is it is what it is. It's an F. It's an F for me.
And Timberlake's got some work to do.
Timberlake's been bad
on Hawk Talk tonight. Bill Self said that Nick Timberlake will win this team some games down the stretch.
Hype.
And he's got the
look
talent to do
to
that.
It.
We haven't seen it yet.
We were stoked when we got Timberlake.
Yeah.
Remember
that? We were in this studio.
We were standing right
and
there.
We were looking at the portal list, and we're like, there's this guy. Nick Timberlake just entered his name into the portal
for
Towson.
Guy.
Ooh, this guy. We got to replace Grady Dick.
We need 3-point shooter.
How are we going to replace Grady Dick? Ooh, I know how.
Yeah.
Nick Timberlake.
And he's athletic? And he's like 25?
He did have an awesome dunk the other night.
Yeah.
It was a great dunk.
Maybe Nick Timberlake is going to improve on his... Bring the bench up from an F.
All right. We're going to close this out here, but I want to know your thoughts on Hunter. Hunter is obviously the biggest name in the portal, biggest name on this team nationally as we're having this discussion. Hunter puts up his numbers, but what is his grade for this season?
Yeah, I got to give him an A. It's hard to knock a guy who's, just come in from a different program, averaged a double-double, 11, what is that now, 19 and 11 or something like that. And he's been, what did he average in Indiana last year? 19. What did
Michigan.
He average? I'm sorry, Michigan, sorry. Michigan, I just literally saw an Indiana thing. What did he average his sophomore year? 18. It's like, he's just a consistent dude who's just going to get you a double-double every night. Super, super high efficient. The only knock I have on Hunter is that he doesn't get more looks. Like, he should shoot the ball 25 times a game as far as I'm concerned.
He is the most
polished offensive big I've ever seen in college. Like, I was saying this yesterday. When he shoots the ball in close range, it always swishes. It hits the backboard, and it still looks like a swish because it, like, hits it so soft and, like, comes in straight. Like, it's just – he is so, so good polished on offense. I give him an A.
Last bonus one, Bill Self.
I'm gonna go B minus.
B minus.
Yeah, the bench not great. Johnny Furphy stepping in, maybe that's the winner, but did it take too long?
Room for improvement.
Room for improvement. You can't get like you're not gonna knock Bill Self terribly. They're sitting in pretty good position. They're a top 10 team, but they were also preseason number one. Now preseason numbers don't matter, but you were preseason number one. You're not anymore. You've had two really bad losses. Those are things that, and he even said, I didn't have him ready. His quote, get him ready.
Well, we got a lot to get ready for coming up here on Jayhawk Talk Radio. We're going to talk about, what the areas that this team needs to focus on to be able to cut down the nets, to have this special season. We're going to talk about the Big 12, do a Big 12 whip around. There are teams all over the place. You got ranked teams losing. You got ranked teams losing at home. And then we're going to close out. We're going to talk about the big game up in the Hilton Coliseum with Iowa State this Saturday. And that is all coming up here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back in to Jayhawk Talk Radio on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Kevin Meckley here. We got Kyle behind the glass. Andrew rapping with me about the Jayhawk basketball program and how, Andrew, we are going to win the national championship this year. Right? That's what this segment is all about. We are going to get back to the promised land, and here's how it's going to happen. Okay, how is it going to happen?
We're going to get rid of math, and we're going to get rid of backboards.
Okay, I think that's it.
Those are the two things. If you've learned anything in the first hour, is that we got to get rid of backboards, and we just don't pay attention to the math.
Don't pay attention to the math. I kind of come back to this. You look down. We did a whole segment on KenPom's a fraud. And we added in several teams that were up there, several of whom we've beat that are ahead of us in KenPom, correct? And you look down and you wonder, we haven't played a lot of great teams that we haven't beat so far this season, correct? Marquette played out of their mind. Are they a great team? I don't know. They're good. They've had some losses, but they're good. All the teams that are kind of Kentucky, UConn.
Tennessee. Oklahoma.
They're great. Those are great teams. If they're not, and by great, I'm really talking about compared to the field, right? At the end of the day,
sure.
We're talking about upside compared to the field. It's the old Joe Biden thing he says, where he says, don't compare me to the almighty, compare me to my competition or to the alternative. We're not trying to be the 96 KU basketball program. We're not trying to be the undefeated program of certain teams that have made it this far. We're trying to beat who we got in front of us. And I think we have a pretty good track record so far of getting up for big games.
And that's could be compared to the Chiefs here. You know, sure. In town, we're familiar with how the Chiefs season went, if we're going to kind of go along that route. They were accused of, and I don't know if there's much truth to it, but it was definitely a worthy accusation that they didn't care about the little games.
Mm.
They only got up for the big games, and they lost some of the big games, but they didn't have their mental power wasn't into it.
Play down to your competition.
They were kind of just waiting for the postseason, and now they're in the postseason and, you know, in the conference championship.
And they're winning big games.
And is that true for the Jayhawks? I mean, obviously going on the road is a big part of the two losses. And we're not having this conversation in this more concerned tone if we don't lose those games to West Virginia and UCF. Those are close games. Like, if we win those games by one, we're having a party in here. That this is the season's over. Give us the trophy now.
Ken Palm would still have us at 20.
Yeah.
For the record.
But having said all that, is that this team does have the roster to do it. There's not like a glaring weakness that, oh, that weakness is going to come back to you in March. This team's pretty well-rounded with Furphy in there. There are weaknesses, but nothing that is going to disqualify you from being one of those elite contenders. And I would put our roster up against anybody. We've put our roster up against UConn, and we've come out with a win. We put our roster up against Tennessee, come out with a win. And Kentucky came out with a win. That's the test. Those are the tests. And so when we go to UCF and lose on the road, that's...
What is a UCF again? I'm not sure who they are. What is their deal?
Are we being catfished by UCF?
I think we are.
Are they a real school?
I'm not sure that's a real school. It's certainly not a Big 12 school. Andrew, I think what... We're going to learn a lot in the next here... What is this? About week and a half. We have three of our four toughest or maybe most fun games coming up on a calendar. Three of the next four. We have at Iowa State, and then we Oklahoma State at home, whatever. Houston at home and at K-State in our next four games. So that's, again, at Hilton, Houston at home, who Ken Pom has been in love with for a long time, and away at K-State, who, again, is leading the Big 12 right now in standings. So you got three of the four toughest games, but also three of the more marquee games left on our... I mean, if you look all the way down, like those three, if you're ranking like the most interesting games, three of our top probably five remaining games are in the next week and a half. So we're going to learn a lot about this team, I think, in the next couple weeks. If we come out of there, what's a success story coming out of, and we'll just take Oklahoma State off of there, of those three games, at Iowa State, Houston at home, at K-State. And then we got Baylor and Tech and Oklahoma. It doesn't get easier, but I'm just talking about like more interesting games that kind of jump out. What's a success of those three?
Of those three, so we're just taking Oklahoma State out of it. I think you got to win them.
All three?
Yeah, I think you do.
If they win all three, I'm all the way back. If they go 2-1, I still think I'm pretty happy. I mean, we're not going to be favored in at least the Iowa State game.
We're definitely not favored in the Iowa State game. And we're not going to be Ken Pom favored.
We're not going to be favored against Houston.
Maybe Vegas will have us favored. I can't imagine Vegas having us as an underdog at home with this roster. I mean, the numbers may say so. I doubt that. And I think if you look at Ken Pom, and this, which is maybe what you're doing right here.
I am.
We may be like a 5-point underdog at home to that Houston team.
That's crazy. Let me look. Here we go. Houston, again, is Ken Pom number one. Like, just make sure everybody understands. Ken Pom,
not leading the Big 12 standings, yeah. But they are Ken Pom number one.
Right now, the KU game, you are right that if we were playing at 5-point dog at home. 69-64.
Do you think that Vegas will put us as a home dog?
Depends what happens
with this
against Iowa State. But I think they might put it out there, and it won't be that for long.
No, it won't.
It might not be that for long. You don't see Allen Fieldhouse dogs very often, at least in the Bill Self era.
Can you remember the last time? Maybe Baylor a couple years ago?
There's been a couple in the past few years. I can't recall off the top of my head. But I remember, I'm pretty sure we won them.
Next week, we will have a statistic for you.
Because we're going to go back to the math.
What is the record of Bill Self as a home dog in Elfie?
That'd be a great, that's a great anecdote.
It's got to be
somebody,
like.
Somebody has that out there.
It's,
I don't want to.
It's got to be like 3-1 or something.
But let me tell you.
It can't be a ton of times.
The odds of us winning at Iowa State, he has at 35%. This is, again, Ken Palm, he's a fraud, for the record. Just, he's a fraud. 35% chance to win, 32% chance to win against Houston. And you want him to go 3-0?
I do.
Wow. I'd take 2-1. I think I would.
And then we got to go to Bramlage.
Ken Palm does get this right, that we should be favored there against the Big 12 leading Wildcats. All right. Andrew, I'm just saying, like, you look at this, and you're looking around, you're going, who scares you? And we're going to find out a lot, I think, about Houston. We're going to find out, you know, a lot about ourselves, too. I think this Iowa State team actually is really interesting. We'll talk about them here in the next segment or down the way here. But I'm very intrigued to see where we stack up. But when you look at the teams that are supposedly the lead dogs, Houston, Purdue, Arizona, Tennessee, Auburn, North Carolina, Connecticut, we've beat a bunch of those teams already. And we'll have opportunities to be more. I think we're going to learn a lot. I am not terribly worried, I guess, as we sit today. I think this has been somewhat therapeutic for me as we've talked this through, because there's been times over the past week where I did not feel good about our team here.
Yeah.
And
I've certainly cycled between this team is incredible and worthy of their number one preseason ranking to this is exactly like the Dedrick Lawson team.
Yeah.
Like, this is just the Dedrick Lawson team all over again. Like,
except we got two scores, maybe three.
Yeah, I just in my head I cycle
I
between
it.
Those, and
I
so I've got a
two Dedrick Lawsons in on this team.
He'd be all right.
No, I think that's right, and we are in as good a situation as anybody,
right?
Because we already have a really good resume, and it can only obviously we have opportunities to make it even better, and I will take my chances with Allen Fieldhouse and Bill Self to build on that resume, get us worthy back into a 1 or 2 seed conversation. I think it's still possible for this team. And you get to a 1 or 2 seed, and anything's possible.
What is a glaring weakness that this team has to fix if they're going to go deep in March?
I think 3-point shooting is probably it. I mean, we have to have a reliable scoring on the outside, and it can't just be volume shots from McCollar. I think you have to have a threat that allows spacing to allow Hunter to go to work. Because if they're able to just crash down, and KJ is not going to add a lot on the perimeter, I mean, so you're already allowed, you know, pretty busy intersection there and down the paint. You got to have a threat, which will give give Hunter more room to operate and give us a little bit more spacing threat to drive. Right now, we don't have that. We just don't. Like, no one's afraid of that.
You know, I was looking at it, too, and I think that certainly 3-point shooting, but this team can win games, you know, with this 1979 style of basketball. It does kind of feel
true,
like that they can win games like that. And I think that if they're going to win games like that, they've got to really eliminate the turnovers, and they've got to rebound.
You want to muck it up? You want to play in the mud?
You play to your roster, and these guys... These guys want to get dirty.
You want to play in the mud? We could play in the mud. You're actually not wrong on that. Like, we got dudes to play in the mud. I'll just say this. We have, I think, the ability. Do we have the horses to do it? I don't know. But you look on paper and it sure feels like you should have the horses to do it. And they haven't put it together yet. Like, unquestionably, they have not put it together yet. They played well in spurts. They've had some good wins, but I don't think they've put it all together yet. I think some other teams have. I think we've seen some ceiling basketball from some teams.
Purdue?
I don't think we've seen ceiling basketball from KU yet.
No, definitely not, especially with Furphy coming on.
Furph.
You know, they've got this whole week to play, a whole week to figure out, you know, going up into Ames, how to really use Johnny Furphy. You know, he's been put into the lineup. Now he's going to play 35 minutes a game. How does he really integrate into this offense? It hasn't been fully integrated, but we've seen these spurts of greatness. This is what they're going to build around, and that's the way they're going to win the tournament coming up here, Kevin, is they're going to figure out Johnny Furphy's going to be your superhero.
Johnny Furphy's Johnny the superhero. Furphy.
We haven't mentioned Johnny Furphy enough in this second hour. We need to remedy that situation.
Just more Johnny. That's always, you know, look, I'm sitting here watching the Australian Open on tennis. It's like, I can't get enough Johnny Furphy. It's just like everybody's putting Australian footage on TV.
Good day. All right, it's a good day for this segment. We're going to go to commercial, and we're going to come back and talk about this brutal Big 12 and do a little Big 12 whip around. I don't know who's good. I don't know who's bad. No one's bad. Everybody seems to be good.
Yeah,
everybody seems to be ranked. It's going to be impossible to win on the road. Let's give a deeper look into that, and that's after the break here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Hey, Big 12, PL, we don't take a night off.
Let's go. Welcome to the Big 12, where every night's a battle till the end. The energy in T-Mobile Center on average is a 10. They attack and we defend. The only path is to the rim. No other conference in this country's got this passion for a win.
Yes. We are back at Jayhawk Talk Radio. You're listening to PL. Right? Is that his name? PL. Rapper and composer. He created a song about the Big 12 for the Big 12 tournament last year. We thought this would be a good song to come into. The Big 12 Conference announced the creation of its first ever basketball anthem, an original song written and composed by musician P.L. Of course, P.L. You know P.L., right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Oh,
P.L.
Yeah.
Yeah. The anthem will be heard throughout the arena on the broadcast, blah, blah, blah. No nights off. Love that. This is what Brent Yormark brings to the Big 12. I like that about Brent Yormark.
You know, I wonder if Brent said, all right, Mr. PL, I need you to reference Phillips 66, the sponsor, in your lyrics. Is there a way that in your composition, in your lyric design, that you could incorporate Phillips 66? They would really appreciate it.
He's a Detroit-based musician.
Ooh, it's a Big Ten guy.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like that.
He does have an Instagram page, if you're curious. Anyway, that's PL, and that was No Nights Off, and this is the Big 12 Whip Around from the Jayhawk Talk Radio. Welcome back in. I can't get enough of that song. You remember when that came out, we were like, what is this? And so people know Brent Yormark, before he was commissioner of the Big 12, he had a bunch of interesting roles, but one of which was representing the Jay-Z something, what was it?
Rock Nation,
right, yeah. And so he has got a tight relationship with Jay-Z. And last year during the Big 12 tournament, I was actually representing the good radio station here, Sports Radio 810 WHB, and I was getting some sound, going in and checking on the players. Right in the elevator down to the locker room, jumped on with Brent Yormark, who was there on the elevator. Very little guy. He's a little guy. And I look at Brent. I was like, hey, Brent, how you doing? Yeah, good to see you. I'm Kevin, whatever. And then I said, hey, I saw you had Fat Joe playing at the Big 12. That's super cool. Hey, when's Jay-Z going to play? And he looked at me kind of like, he wasn't sure if I was serious or not, but I gave him this look like, I'm actually really serious. I want to know. And he just didn't know what to do with me. We got off the elevator. But that's why I don't have a solid answer for you when Jay-Z's going to play the Big 12 tournament. But maybe we can get Jay-Z instead of PL.
You know, I have one Brent Yormark story, too. I sat very, very close to Brent Yormark at the Mizzou game. Because he was in town for the Mizzou game.
Like
he was sat it. He's sitting courtside with his brother, who is his identical twin.
How about that?
They look like, I couldn't tell which one was which.
Brent's the one who's real short with the ties.
They both do that. Okay. And they both wear incredible shoes.
Oh.
And they were dressed immaculately. I could tell that it was Brent because he had a Big 12 folder.
Okay, there you go.
And he was taking notes.
There you go. Taking
game notes. I don't know about what. Oh, and he was with a Dallas Cowboy executive. You know, as you do.
Sure.
As you do. But yeah, we're in good hands with Commissioner Yormark.
No nights
taking
off.
Over the Big 12, because this league that he has constructed with 14 teams.
Pretty good ball season. Pretty good ball teams.
Pretty good.
Pretty good ball
it's
teams.
It's difficult to tell. I mean, who's going to win. If you had to handicap this thing, and let's say you had to exclude the Jayhawks, who would you handicap would have the best chance to come out ahead of this conference?
Well, I'd say Texas Tech and K-State, as they are leading the Big 12.
I will bet you. I will take that.
Take
I will
the field.
Take that bet. I will
we'll take the field,
bet.
Yeah. I don't know, Andrew. Actually, you know, dark horse, I would take Iowa State.
Interesting.
I'm going to give a complete dark horse. Houston's the obvious choice. You want to say Houston. Ken Palm wants Houston. He's a fraud. But I would say, I'd say Iowa State. Number one, defense. That's repeatable. They can, I think they'll get better offensively. I will give the nod to Iowa State as a complete dark horse. No one else had Iowa State up that high.
I think it's difficult. I mean, I obviously would pick Houston, but you could see
several
it
teams
going a bunch of different ways. And you could
it's
going to
be
thing.
A 5-way tie.
Yeah, it's going to be like a bunch of teams at 11-7 or a bunch of teams at 12-6. It's going to be difficult.
It's going to be a 5-way tie.
So, yeah, let's take a look at this. So we are coming to you on a Tuesday here. Houston is currently playing BYU at BYU. They are currently in the lead. If Houston does come out ahead, they will tie the Kansas Jayhawks at 4-2. With Texas Tech and K-State still above them at 4-1. But, like, what are your big storylines here? I mean, in terms of big competitors, the big competitors we are traditionally used to seeing year in, year out, competing with the Jayhawks for Big 12 championships, are Texas and Baylor.
Yep.
Baylor, I think, is still there.
Yeah.
But they're not being talked about. Maybe it's because this new Houston stuff. Maybe it's because things haven't really shaken out. Baylor's still good. Baylor could still win this conference, but they're not being talked about. You know, L.J. Cryer transferring to Houston maybe gives Houston some of that juice. But they've got some good wins. They've got a win against Auburn on the resume. Ken Palm, number 5.
How about that?
Does that mean anything to you, Kevin?
No, it's a fraud. But I do take your point. I think Texas has shown some signs lately. Winning 2 good games in a row. I mean, they went to OU and blasted them. They just won by 15 points. I think they're back in the conversation as a not contender, but high part of the Big 12. I think they'll be a tough out. Baylor will be a tough out. They are always. I mean, they're. I think they probably as rosters are constructed, I would take theirs up in the top 2 or 3, and then yeah, I mean, you just go down the list. BYU's got a great offense. Houston, obviously the numbers love them. I mean, even the teams that we thought were going to be bad, Central Florida is still 3-3 in the league. And that's, you know, it just goes to show that no matter what you expect to happen in the Big 12, every night there's going to be a show. There's going to be a show every night. And that's kind of fun. It's also terrifying, but kind of fun.
You know, you could look at a team like TCU, who gives KU a thrill, right? It comes down to the wire, and it really may be an Ernest Uday elbow to the face of or elbow to the neck of Hunter Dickinson that really gets the win for the Jayhawks there. And they're, you know, let me look at this. They're 11th in this conference right now. But that's a good team, and that team was ranked last week. That team was ranked 19th last week.
Yeah, I mean they lost to Iowa State, the aforementioned Iowa State, by 1 point. So, and they lost at Cincinnati by 4 points. They beat Houston by 1 point. I mean, like every game is just going to be like that. It's going to be a coin flip at the end. This is why I kind of like the Jayhawks. Like, you give me a coin flip at the end, I'm going to take KU most of the time.
That's right. The last 4 minutes.
So
you put us in it, we're going to win.
Even tonight, TCU's playing at Oklahoma State, and it's a 2-point game. It's just like every night, that's just going to be what it is.
You know, that being said, Oklahoma State may be the only bad team.
They're bad.
I'm not sure. If they don't get this win tonight, I'm not sure where those wins are going to come from for them. But otherwise, you're not going to see a 15-3. You're not going to see a 14-4, more than likely.
It's not happening.
You probably are going to see, you know, 13-5. It's going to be 12-6 or worse that's going to win this conference. Everybody's going to be bunched up. Everybody has been ranked, it seems like, this whole season. But, you know, any other teams that have stuck out to you or any other players in this conference that are striking your eye as, ooh, this is a guy to look out for, this is a team to look out for?
Yeah, I mean, when I said Iowa State, I think that is one that you're not hearing a lot about. That would be the case. I think that BYU is one of those that you just it's sort of new to the new kid on the block, not sure what they are. I think their offense is fun to watch. And then I can't help but kind of like Cincinnati. I like their coach. They seem like, I mean, they go, what, nine deep? Kind of a fun team to watch. I actually kind of really enjoyed watching them play. I would look forward to kind of watching them some more in the Big 12 season. I think that, I don't know that they're a tournament team. They might be. But they're kind of running that line. I think that, you could argue things shake out the right way. Cincinnati could be that kind of, you know, 11 seed type that sneaks in.
Bill Self on Hawk Talk tonight described them as a Big 12, or a NCAA caliber type.
Well, there you go.
Like, maybe not going to get there, but they are the caliber. If they're in any other conference, if they're still in the American, they'd be it.
They'd be it. Yeah, I trust Bill Self over KenPom.
There you go. Big eye test guy. Yeah, you know, you talk about a team like BYU. It's easy to just kind of dismiss a team like that, but this team, that team's kind of scary.
Yeah,
it's these new rhythms.
Great home court too.
Yeah. You want to go to Provo?
I do actually.
Go check out Provo.
I do. They're going to give you ice cream. That's what I've heard.
Oh.
If they see that you're wearing another team's jersey, they give you ice cream.
Isn't that nice? Very kind of them.
They call you names. They're nice names. Like, they're not going to be mean. Like, but they yell at you, but they also give you ice cream. They're very nice.
It seemed pretty intense. I was watching a couple of those.
Yeah,
they get
it was
into
real intense.
It. They get into
I want to go.
All right, let's go. Let's make a little trip to Provo.
It's easy to get to. Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, these are the new rhythms we're going to have to learn. These new coaches, these new styles. I mean, we're used to this. Okay, we know what Scott Drew has. We know what Scott Drew wants to do. We know the players that he likes to play. We know what, you know, even the past couple of years, this is how T.J. Altzelberger likes to play. We're going to see the exact same team, just a couple new faces. This, like, Cincinnati last night completely blew my mind.
Yeah.
Like, I got to figure out Wes Miller. I got to figure out how he likes to play. He's played. Are you telling me this Cincinnati team plays with two big guys? Who does that?
Who does that? I kind of like those guys. I liked him, too. I mean, I don't know if you watched his post game or anything, but he did the right level of, like, deferential to KU, but also, like, we're not going to be afraid of anybody kind of thing.
You got to be careful about that.
Yeah, I liked it. He did it right. And he was sharp. I think it seemed like he has a good head on his shoulders. That team obviously plays freaking hard. So fun to watch.
All right, Kevin. Well, there is one team that I have my eye on in particular that we're going to talk about. That's the Iowa State Cyclones.
Hilton Magic. Going down.
Juicy Wiggle.
Oh, boy.
Coming out.
Don't.
Oh, man. It's intimidating.
I don't want to know anymore about
that. Juicy Wiggle. The Hilton Coliseum is intimidating, but I think the most intimidating part is the Juicy Wiggle. We don't need to talk about that, but it is a very unique tradition at Hilton Coliseum up there in Ames, Iowa. We're going to be talking about that more coming up after the break. This is what I'm calling all sins are forgiven if you win at Hilton Coliseum.
Like it.
You can forgive West Virginia. You can forgive UCF if you get the win at Hilton Coliseum this Saturday.
Let's go.
So let's talk about that after the break here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back in. This is Jayhawk Talk Radio, final segment. I do not know what I'm listening to right now. Is this called, this is the Juicy Wiggle.
Yeah, it's an Iowa State thing.
So,
I had the privilege of seeing this last year at Hilton Coliseum. It's like,
this is a new tradition, by the way. This one's new. They used to do this. This is not like the Rock Chalk chant.
Probably last 5 years or so.
Okay.
This is like their hum. The last 4 minutes.
It's like Sandstorm at K-State.
This is Hum at
KU. Juicy Wiggle at Hilton Coliseum.
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
And so there's I guess an app for it.
Oh.
Because it does like weird lights on your phone as the song plays.
Okay.
And there's a dance to it. And I got to tell you, Kevin, if you don't know what's happening, and you have a bunch of dudes in Carhartt doing this like Macarena style dance around you, all at the same time choreographed. It is very jarring.
Oh, no.
It is, and honestly, we lost that game last year by a lot.
Yeah,
and that's what happened.
It was the juicy wiggle.
It was the juicy
wiggle. No longer Hilton Magic.
The surprise is gone.
The
Bill Self
magic.
Right now is getting his guys ready
when
the juicy wiggle comes out. They know how to adjust.
Got it.
That's what's happening right now.
That's good coaching.
That's right. That's why he's the best.
That's good coaching.
The best in the business.
Yeah.
We had to overcome it last year.
Get ready
year.
For the juicy
this
wiggle.
It's a learning experience.
Johnny Furphy's like, the what? All right. So look, Iowa State is our next up. You called this the all sins are forgotten if you win this game.
Yes.
Game.
Yes. You can lose at UCF. You can lose at West Virginia if you win at Iowa State.
And K-State. Like, if and you're K-State. Just... Yeah, I feel like those... Yeah. I need two wins to offset the
but
two
bad
losses.
But all sins will be forgiven if you win this game. This is one... It's not a must-win, Kevin. It's not a must-win.
No, of course not.
But it is a big game.
January.
It's a big game.
It's a big game for sure.
It's a test against a great team who plays great at home, and they play great on the road too. But this is your first test. This is your real test. This is a real team. This team, probably rightly or wrongly, probably more wrongly, was not considered much in the preseason. They weren't like ranked highly in the polls. They weren't really picked all too high, by the coaches or by the AP in terms of how this Big 12 is going to shake out. But this team could win the Big 12. This team is good enough to win all their games at home and maybe pick a couple games off on the road. That's enough to win this league.
Yes, it is. If you trust KenPom, which I think we've established is kind of a fraud, but if you do trust him and you are a numbers nerd, they do have some pretty good analytics. Again, if you're into that, I think they're third in the in defensive efficiency, which is very, very good. Best in the Big 12.
You know, Tej always has his guys ready. TJ Otzelberg, that's his calling card. These guys, you're never going to have a smooth offensive game against any TJ Otzelberg.
Number one in turnover percentage.
Wow.
Number three number two in steal percentage, which makes sense. 12th in KenPom overall. So yeah, they are a scary team. They do not shoot or make a lot of threes, so that's something. Which means they'll probably make about 15 against us. They got wins against Houston, very good win. They beat TCU on the road. They beat Iowa. They've lost a few games as well. They lost to BYU. They lost to OU. And then Virginia Tech and Texas A&M. They don't have a bad loss on the resume. They got a few decent wins. The Houston win obviously looks really good. TCU on the road is certainly quad one. So they have a pretty good resume, but seem to be playing their best basketball. And that it's going to be a test.
You know, Taman Lipsey's their point guard, really is coming on strong for them. You know, back a couple years ago when they lost, the guy to Texas, there was some panic in the air of, oh, this was our Tyrese Hunter. This was our future. This was our guy who's supposed to, you know, take us into the next couple of years. And so there could have been a moment of panic there. But Taman Lipsey, a guy from Ames, has stepped in and really is the leader of that team. And if I was picking players now, I would pick over Tyrese Hunter. Tyrese Hunter's good for Texas. I would pick Taman Lipsey over him.
Yeah, I think I would too. Sean Gilbert's been good. Another transfer in from UNLV. I think he's leading the team in scoring. I might have that wrong. He's up there. It's a good guard. Good guards. Obviously active guards. It's going to be a good test, I think. It will come down to, I think, turnovers. Is this going to be one of the games? We've actually cleaned them up, you know, fairly well, broadly, over the last few games after the two 18 turnover games. I think turnovers are obviously going to matter. This is what they do. Can Juan go from 5 turnovers to 2 this game? Can he be the floor general that we need? Can McCuller get back to some efficient numbers? Because I think we're going to need him to play well. And then it has to be a Hunter game. This has to be Hunter like a go off game. 25. I want to see a big Hunter game. Doesn't have to be Johnny. Johnny can play, is fine. Like, you need 10 points from Johnny. I want Hunter to go off in this game.
You know, Hunter has said he loves playing in Allen Fieldhouse, but he also loves playing in front of
hostile
crowds.
Him. They're going to wreck. He's going to eat this up. There will not be, other than K-State, there will not be a better crowd the rest of the season. He knows that. He knows it.
This is his time to step up.
He's going to feed off that. I think for KU to win, we're going to need, you know, obviously, my keys to the game are a big game from Hunter and clean up the turnovers.
And because we haven't talked about it in enough time, Johnny Furphy, he's got to take the show on the road. He's got to take the show up to the people of Iowa. He's got to show them this is me.
Yeah,
I'm him.
Yeah,
this is it.
You know,
I'm the guy.
In another world, Johnny Furphy would be an Iowa State player.
True.
Like he probably would.
Found an obscurity from,
Yeah. But no, we got the Johnny Furphy. They can't have him. That's correct. I think it will be a fun game. Obviously, we're going to not be favored. You're going to be able to get KU on a plus money line. I think somewhere in the neighborhood of plus 120 or something. You think that's about right?
That's probably right. That's
probably about right. You can get KU as an underdog right now. Well, when the line comes out. Right now. You can get KU as an underdog at Hilton Coliseum. I think it's going to be a coin flip game. Who you got?
I'm going to go KU in a close one.
Okay.
Let's say, last 4 minutes, maybe you're down a couple or it's tied.
Johnny Furphy drains a three from the corner.
Hey, maybe. You know, if it means anything to you, this game's on CBS.
Oh, boy. I don't love CBS games.
Well, it's that pit in your stomach.
Yeah.
When the song plays, the pit in your stomach goes. The nerves that are usually associated with that song, they all come back. Like, oh.
Here we go. This is real.
It's a big game here. So it's going to be big and deserving. These two teams deserve a big spotlight.
It's a good, good matchup.
You got football this weekend, but the real sporting event, noon 30, CBS, taking over for the NFL is the Cyclones and the Jayhawks.
You can watch the NFL on Sunday.
Yeah.
We need two dubs from our Kansas teams, Kansas and Kansas City teams.
Yeah, so I'll take a KU and a close one. What do you have?
I like KU in a close one too. I think it's going to be muddy. I think it's going to be playing the 60s, but like 63-59 KU. It's going to be gross. I'm just playing in the mud, just like you said.
And because we're in town, let's talk 1 minute on Chiefs. You have a Chiefs prediction?
What is it? 3.5 points though?
Is it three? Did they move to 3.5?
I think I got the hook. 3.5. There
wow.
it is.
Wow.
Give me the Chiefs.
Give me the Chiefs.
It's a destiny.
Jayhawks Chiefs Parlay.
Bet it right now.
All right, we'll be back next week.
Moneyline. You're going to make so much money.
Oh, yeah. We'll be back next week. On Wednesday, I think.
Wednesday next week.
Jayhawks play on Tuesday.
On Tuesday, we'll be back. Oklahoma State.
Jayhawk Talk Radio. We're
this
happy to be
fun.
Back. Happy to be back, everybody.
Thank you, Kyle, for keeping us in order. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate you all listening. Rock Chalk.
I tried to tell them every time we on the court. I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win.